Well, Peter Dutton's financial arrangements, you remember, came under intense scrutiny last week as the Home Affairs Minister launched his leadership challenge against Malcolm Turnbull. Questions were raised about whether government payments to the Dutton family's childcare business made him ineligible to sit in the Parliament, let alone to become Prime Minister. Professor Graham Orr is a political law expert from the University of Queensland. He's speaking here with Damien Carrick.
There's some significant payments involved, but in reality, this is just a stock standard system where if you're a parent and you're entitled to a childcare subsidy, you apply, you choose a childcare centre, and then the childcare centre gets that rebate directly. So it's not that much different from, say, a doctor who bulk bills. A doctor who bulk bills has to register for financial reasons with the Commonwealth Government, but just receives the rebate on your behalf to defray the costs of the service. So there wasn't any sign of an agreement between Mr. Dutton's family trust or childcare centres and the Commonwealth. It was just a law of general application to spread social welfare around.
So last week we saw the release of a number of different legal opinions flying in different directions. Can you walk me through what each of them said? I think Peter Dutton had asked former Solicitor General David Bennett for his view, and his view was that there was no contract, right?
It doesn't have to be a contract. So the term, the key term here in the Constitution is an interest in an agreement with the public service. And an agreement is broader than contract. It could be any kind of arrangement or understanding. But the advice that Mr. Dutton got, and effectively the advice of the Independent Solicitor General, was there's no agreement here, not in the relevant sense where there's some negotiation or dickering between Mr. Dutton's childcare centres or family trust and the relevant government department. And it's only in that negotiation or dickering that you can have room for undue or improper influence.
You're talking there about the advice given to the federal government by current Solicitor General Stephen Donohue, released on Friday, hours before the second spill. And his view was, quote, "The better view is that Mr. Dutton is not incapable of sitting." But he did go on to say, didn't he, that it was impossible to state with certainty because facts like these have never been previously assessed, and there might be facts that I'm presently unaware of, and there is a significant difference of opinion on the High Court. But nevertheless, the view of the Solicitor General was that the law looks like it's on Peter Dutton's side.
I think that's pretty clear. You've got not just the literal argument about the term agreement, but you've also got the underlying purpose of what is a provision that goes back several centuries. The underlying purpose is to avoid that kind of undue influence with carrots being dangled or the public service being heavied. I think we've got into such a kind of a maelstrom about Section 44 that we think that it could come to mean anything. It could come to swamp anything and the High Court will decide anything. Now, the High Court's made a couple of decisions at the margin that I think were quite wrong and far too formalist. But in this case, there's nothing in any of the previous precedents to suggest that the High Court would go to such a broad extent that we'd effectively be saying, for instance, to a doctor, you cannot run for Parliament, you cannot even stand as a candidate because you are in receipt of rebates that are designed to assist your patients.
So that's Section 44 again. Graham Orr, University of Queensland Professor of Law, speaking with RN's Damien Carrick. And you can hear more of that interview on The Law Report with Damien this afternoon here on RN at 5:30 or any time, of course, on the ABC Listen app.